Today I'm chatting with Ed Tincher. He's a tattoo artist, painter, and monster maker. And he lives here in Cookeville, and he does tattoos at Pandora's Studios. Hey, Ed, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah, so, Ed, when did you first take an interest in the arts? Were you always doodling?
Yeah, even from a very young age. My mother was an artist. We grew up in a very artistic household. Music and art has always been around.
Yeah, it was always like a big thing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So did your parents push you in that direction?
My parents didn't push me in any direction.
No.
They let me follow my own path. Mm. I think that's what helped me become the artist that I am today.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so are you self-taught or did you receive any training?
For the most part, self-taught. I do use videos and things like that. YouTube is a savior when it comes to figuring things out, but I've never been to art school or had any type of formal training like that.
Wow, that's amazing. Your work looks like you have.
Thank you.
Yeah, it looks like somebody was really teaching you your use of light and just the way that you can draw something out, and it's I don't want to say it's perfect, but I mean, as a tattoo artist, you have to have a level of precision.
For sure, yeah. And I've always been, light sources and shadows have always been some of the biggest draws to a lot of my work.
Mm-hmm. I find it's like just so important when you put that light next to the dark.
For sure, yeah.
That's what like brings pain.
You learn
to
a lot of that with high contrast in tattooing is where a lot of it comes from. You use the skin as the natural highlight if it's done properly.
Oh, that's interesting. So you had to have gone somewhere to learn how to tattoo, right?
I'm actually self-taught in that as well.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I've been doing it for 28 years now professionally.
So have you ever worked a safe job?
A safe job?
Yeah, like not art.
Well, before I got into tattooing full time, I was a carpenter for several years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so when you were at work, were you wishing you were drawing?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The biggest scare in my life was finally quitting my full-time job and going tattooing full-time. You know,
mm-hmm.
That was pretty scary.
Yeah, but it worked, didn't it?
Yeah, you have to try, you know.
You got to try. It's amazing, I think, when you're doing something that you really love, how that energy flows through you.
For sure.
And you make it.
Yeah.
It just works.
Mm-hmm.
Things just work out and you feel better. And even if maybe you're broke for a little while, maybe you're not making what you made at the other job, but you're just a whole lot happier.
Very true. Art's never let me down. It's always came through.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are some of your favorite things to create?
I really enjoy doing landscapes a lot. That's a hard question for me. I like doing a lot of different images. Being a tattoo artist, you come up with different ideas for select customers, and it varies. Every tattoo is completely different from the other if they're doing something original and unique, you know.
Yeah.
So
do you prefer working with skin or canvas, or does it matter?
Doesn't really matter.
The canvas doesn't talk back,
though. The canvas doesn't talk back, and it's a lot quieter, and I can do it on my own time. With the one thing tattooing taught me is when I sit down to do the tattoo, I can't get up and walk away from it.
Mm.
And I can't leave it unfinished. You know
yeah.
what I mean? So that has also helped me when it comes to my painting and different art that I do. It helps me focus more on what I'm doing and not get distracted with, I don't like the way this is coming out, I'll work on it later. And then you know how that goes.
It yeah.
hardly ever gets finished.
Yeah. Sometimes, though, I'll stop for a little while and I'll take a break and come back. I mean, stuff I've almost thrown in the trash,
mm-hmm.
I've come back and turned it into magic, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes
yeah, well,
you just need
yeah.
that patience. But I could imagine with tattooing, I mean, once you're in it, you're in it.
Yeah.
Does that make you nervous? Like, you can't make mistakes.
Well, yeah, it is. It can be nerve-wracking at times, depending on the design, you know. But I think that's what I enjoy more about painting is because I can make mistakes.
Yeah, you can just paint over them.
I can paint over them. I can make a happy little accident, and it's fine.
Yeah, 100%. You can bob
around. I can't really apply that to my daily work, but
No.
I do enjoy that with my own artwork, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So you don't... So has anybody ever come in with a tattoo request, and you're like, no?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, quite a bit.
What would be a no for you?
What
would make it a no?
Outright racist symbols and things like that, mm-hmm. I don't do. I won't do anything that seems offensive and seems like it's going to hurt that person in the future. You know, at 20 years old, they might think what they're getting is a really cool idea, but at 50, they will not.
Mm-mm.
And it's pretty, you know, it's funny to say that your tattoo artist can be your moral compass, but it does exist.
No, sometimes we need that. We got to look out for each other.
Yeah.
All right, more of our conversation with Ed Tincher coming up on the scene. Today I'm chatting with Ed Tincher, who is a local tattoo artist. He's also a painter and a monster maker. What's your fascination with monsters?
I don't know. I've always, you know, it's funny, but when I was a kid, there was this book, a Sesame Street book about Grover, and it was called The Monster at the End of This Book, and I just loved every part of it. It was exciting to read it, and it was exciting to see the ending, and I think that was like, and then fairy tales. I was always really into fairy tale stories and woodland creatures and different things like that, so it was just a slippery slope after that.
Yeah, now it incorporates into your work. So when people come to you for a tattoo, are they familiar with your work? Do they know what your essence is, what you like to create? Do you find that?
Somewhat.
Or people
being that I've only been in town for 5 years, I'm building a good customer base as it is. But some people have come in and have never been tattooed by me. So, you know, when I was in Florida, I was in one location for almost 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a lot of trust in people,
mm-hmm.
or a lot of trust in clients that would come in and just understood what I do. But it's slowly getting back to that here now.
So are people asking you to do anything like fairies, or do they know that that's not quite your thing?
No, it is my thing.
I mean,
it
something
is.
Light and
yeah,
and
I do
fluffy.
A lot of that as well.
You do?
You know? Yeah, yeah.
And so I wonder, because your art is on the darker side and it's raw, and so if somebody's coming in and they're asking you to do something that's not really of your essence, I always wonder how that works.
No. You can't really, I don't turn down things just because it's something that I don't like. It's just if it is detrimental to that person and I see that it's going to cause them harm somewhere down the road, that's where I draw the line. As far as butterflies and bunnies, I do those all day.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where I'm going. Is it a different experience when you're doing something like butterflies and bunnies as opposed to what you like?
I'm still creating something,
okay.
And I'm creating something for that person that means something to them.
Okay.
You know?
Just
because it's not something that I would personally wear, you know.
Yeah, I always wondered how that worked, because it's when I do commissions sometimes, and they're like, they want me to do something that I don't want to do.
Yeah.
It's hard to get through it.
Yeah.
So I wonder what it's like when
It's funny, because I basically do commissions every day as a tattoo artist, but when it comes to painting, I prefer to do my own stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and when I do have commissions, those seem to be the biggest struggles for me.
Yeah, they are.
Painting-wise, you know.
It is. It's because it's not coming from that, like, real inspired place.
Exactly.
It's coming from somebody else's. So yeah. That's why I wonder. I always wonder about tattoo artists. Are they able, I guess you separate that. I mean, it's maybe you're going into work and it's different. I don't know.
Well, it's not so much. It does get, sometimes it can get very tedious when you work in a very busy shop and it's just an overturn of people in and out and in and out all day getting the same little things. It can get very boring and redundant at times.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, what's the process when somebody comes in to get a tattoo from you? Are they like looking at a book? Or did people ever say, "Hey, will you create something for me"?
Oh yeah.
Oh cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of my favorite things are people that come in and they say, "This is the type of stuff I want, but I don't know how to do it, and I don't know exactly what I want." So then I get to reach into my creative well there and pull out some different ideas for them. You know.
Do they ever ask for a sketch first?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty standard. You know, you work on a sketch, you send them some ideas, and then give them time to, I've learned to not send a completed drawing the first time, because sometimes people change things. Sometimes they love exactly what you did the first time, but sometimes seeing the image that they see is different until it actually gets worked out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Does it take a while sometimes to go back and forth with that sketch?
Sometimes. Depends on the customer.
Yeah. You're like, fingers crossed.
Yes, please like it.
Yeah, I know.
I worked all night.
I know that feeling. It's a dreadful feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like.
I totally get it. So how long does it, well, I guess, I mean, it would depend how long on the size of the tattoo, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Do you ever have smaller ones that take longer than you thought they would?
Sometimes, but sometimes when you get tiny, small little things, they don't actually age very well as a tattoo. So you have to be real careful with what you do very small. there's a lot of artists throughout the world that are posting these extremely tiny, extremely detailed tattoos, and they look great, and you can get them done, but the skin ages.
Yeah.
Your canvas ages. You have to. Yeah, that also has to be part of the equation when you start, you know.
Hmm.
A lot of people don't realize that because they're seeing it tattoo the day it was done.
Hmm.
And I always go tell them, go Google small finger tattoos healed 6 months, things like that. Hmm. You see a completely different picture.
Ooh, something to keep in mind.
Yeah.
Absolutely. More of our conversation with Ed Tincture coming up on the scene. I'm chatting today with Ed Tincture. He is a tattoo artist here in Cookeville at Pandora's Studios. He's also a painter and a monster maker. And so you work primarily with acrylics. You like
mostly,
oils.
Yes.
But the dry time.
The dry time.
Bums you out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I get that. So on your Instagram page, there's a really amazing painting. There's no title on it, but it's a skull. And then it looks like the skull is kind of glued on there, right?
It's poured in with layers of resin.
Oh, wow. And then you've got antlers coming out of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paper mache and wire.
Wow, that's amazing. And then you've painted on it the body.
Yeah.
And
you paint. Yeah, I did the background on the canvas and then poured a layer of resin and then did a little bit more and then poured another layer and painted a little bit so you can get, when you see it in person, it has a whole lot more depth than it actually does in the photo.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Like they never look the same on a tiny little iPhone screen. So the skull, he's holding a flower. It looks like he just got that out of the ground and it's fresh. You want to explain to me the inspiration behind this piece?
Well, the little flower, 2 years ago, I recently lost an uncle from my family, and I'm from West Virginia. I traveled back for the funeral, and after the funeral, I was walking in the woods by his house, just kind of reminiscing growing up with him, and in the middle of all these weeds and briars was one little tiny purple flower, and that was the whole inspiration for the design.
Oh, wow. So is this your uncle?
It's not necessarily my uncle. It's more the essence of the wilderness and that there's always something good.
Always.
Somewhere in whatever you're looking at, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Every bad situation has something good.
Always. You can always find something good. I think when you do, it changes your whole perspective on just life.
For sure.
Yeah. I always try and wake up every day with gratitude and see all the beauty around me. Even
Absolutely.
If it's a cold winter's day and there's not a leaf on a tree, I can find something to be grateful for. So a lot of your work is on the darker side. And where does all that come from?
Like I was saying earlier from growing up, I just really love fairy tales.
Yeah.
And, that was like some of my favorite things in the world. As I got a little bit older, I started enjoying horror movies, sci-fi movies and things like that. A lot of it comes from that. Believe it or not, I get a lot of inspiration from backgrounds and things in video games.
Mm.
There's beautiful art rendered in video games all the time. And if you stop and look at what's going on behind the characters, it's pretty inspiring sometimes.
I'll sit and watch my son sometimes when they're playing and I'm always focused on the background.
Me
I'm
too.
Not focused on what they're doing. I'm always like, wow, that's amazing.
The way the light changes and just everything about it is really incredible.
Yeah, I've been into that for a while. I remember even when I was younger, I was always into what was going on in the backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're creating, are you using any sort of reference or is this 100% from you?
It depends on what I'm doing. If
yeah.
it's something that's anatomical, usually I use some sort of reference. Sometimes it just comes blindly. Sometimes I just pick up a brush and I have no idea what I'm going to paint. And then I end up with something really cool.
Really?
Yeah. Sometimes I use stencils. If I'm doing portrait style faces and things like that, I usually use some sort of a stencil to work off of so I can get the dimensions correct and everything. I have a hard time freehanding anatomical that's not creatures and things. Because when you're doing fantasy, it can be whatever you want because it's fantasy.
Yeah.
The fingers can be longer if you want. And I think that's what took me to that. So I really like just taking ideas from my head more than anything, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
I'm doing that a lot lately, just trying not to follow a rule book.
Because
I think it limits us when we do follow that rule book.
For sure.
So, Ed, where can people find your work?
I have an Instagram page, Jakobok Botch, And I'm also on Facebook, Ed Tencher on Facebook. You can give me a follow there.
And then they can find you at Pandora's Studios, and that's by appointment only, correct?
Yes, it's by appointment only. We're not always in there, but you can contact me through the internet, and we can go from there.
Well, it was a pleasure talking with you. You're an incredibly talented artist.
Thank you very
and
much.
I highly recommend your work to anybody out there who's looking to get some really amazing ink on their skin. Thank you so much.
Thank you.